Well, not when we're not, when it's not, okay. All right, Wednesday, 7:17:24. We're going to look at following the inward witness tonight. For a Christian, I think this is probably one of the most important things for a Christian to learn. Okay, so how does God lead us? He leads us by Spirit, and He's the witness. So, Christians today walk in a lot of fleecy prayers, a lot of religious, just crapola, really, if you want to call it something. Well, Lord, if you want me to do that, then have three red cars drive by my house. Well, fleecing is only one time in the old covenant was Gideon. We're going to look at that, just a few scriptures there. But we're not under the old covenant. So what is, if we're not walking by the Spirit in what we do in church and everything else, then what are we doing? Just a bunch of works, right? That will get no results at all. Well, in the old covenant, that's all they had. And we're going to look at that in Hebrews in just a minute. But anyway, let's go to Judges. I'm already there. Thank you. Starting with 36 there. See, God wants Gideon to do some things. So the angel's there. And so I guess that wasn't good enough. So he said this. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I'll put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Well, that wasn't good enough either. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, upon all the ground, let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So he had to have, he had an angelic visitation, and then he had to do two confirmations concerning external things for him to believe God. Well, I say to you today, most Christian people that I have known in my life, this is the way they operate. They're looking for signs out there. They're looking for someone to come up and do something, say something. But, you know, God doesn't operate outside. He's inside our temple. You know what I'm saying? The temple of the Holy Ghost. He operates inside His temple. The Holy Ghost gives us witness that we are the sons of God. And we'll look at that too. All right, go to Hebrews 9 and then we'll get on with it. People get into a lot of trouble doing this. In fact, I think it's probably the number one reason people do not get their prayers answered. Because they're not looking in the right place. We're supposed to look inside. Not at, well, you know, they offered me a lot of money. It has to be God. Oh, really? Okay, we're going to look at that too. Hebrews 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. You do realize when they came out of Israel, out of Egypt, God wanted them to walk by faith. He was trying to teach them to follow the cloud, which was, I believe, symbolic of following the Holy Spirit. He wanted them to walk by faith and believe him, but they would not believe him. And so he said, I'm going to give you something that you won't be able to keep. And even Paul used that against Peter. How dare you do what you're doing, trying to bring the Gentiles under the law when we ourselves couldn't even keep it? And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second with the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Abraham walked by faith. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not made without, not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. It could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Well, we walk in the time of Reformation. We're walking in that time, the new time, where God moved out of the box. When Jesus died on the cross, he moved out of the box, rent the veil that separated him from his people. All right. Brother Hagin illustrates in his devotions, and we're going to look at that today, the stoplight and the green light, and we're going to look at that. I liked Brother Hagin because he made everything so simple. And he actually was one that got results and did things that he said. All right. First, we're going to look at stoplight. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Under the new covenant, he is the one that's supposed to guide. But it's not going to be external. People think the Holy Ghost uses all kinds of these outward signs to do it, but the number one way he leads us is inside. For three days prior to my vision of the Lord, I had been trying to write a letter to a pastor, confirming a date I was to hold for him. I'd get half a page written to him, and then I'd tear it up and throw it into the wastebasket. Remember, we've talked about hesitancy? The second and third days, it did the same thing. As the Lord sat by my bedside, he said, I'm going to show you how the inward witness works so you won't make the same mistakes you've made in the past. You see me now sitting here talking to you. This is the prophet's ministry manifestation. Now, he was in the hospital. He had had an accident at a service where he jumped over a pew and he cracked his elbow. So the Lord told him to go into the hospital, and he had to have surgery. So he's in the hospital, and Jesus shows up and has a visitation with him for an hour or so. You see me now sitting here talking to you. This is the prophet's ministry and manifestation. That'd be like discerning of spirits, you might say. And a manifestation of discerning of spirits is seen into the spirit realm. You hear me talking to you, and I am bringing you through the vision a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. I'm telling you not to go to that church. See the hesitancy. He'd try to write the letter and he'd tear it up. Then he'd try again and he'd tear it up. What's that called? Beating down doors that are closed, maybe? The pastor wouldn't accept the way you minister. But I'm never going to lead you this way again. And he hasn't. From now on, I'm going to lead you by that inward witness you've had all the time. You had a check, a hesitancy on the inside, and this is the way I'm going to lead you. The inward check is like a stop sign. It's like a red light way down on the inside. Yeah, here's the confession. The Spirit of truth has come. He indwells me. He guides me. He is guiding me now. Okay, green light. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. A pastor once asked me, Brother Hagin, do you ever go to small churches? I replied, yes. I'll go anywhere the Lord says to go. Then the pastor told me about his church and said, if God ever speaks to you about it, we want you to come. But I just dismissed his invitation. However, several months later, when I was praying about something else, this conversation came back to me. Then every day it kept coming back. Finally, after about the fourth day, I said, Lord, do you want me to go to that church? And the more I'd pray about it, the better I'd feel on the inside of me about accepting that invitation. This wasn't a physical feeling, but one I recognized in my spirit. Sitting by my bedside, Jesus referred to this. The more you thought about it, the better you felt about it. He reminded me you had a velvety-like feeling in your spirit. In other words, that's that peace that makes the call. That's the green light. That's the go-ahead signal. That's the witness of the Spirit to go. Now you see me and I'm telling you to go to that church, but I'm never going to lead you to go anywhere again like this. From now on, I'm going to lead you like I do every Christian by the inward witness. Confession. The Lord leads me in the way I should go. He leads me by the inward witness. Can you see how you can get into trouble? Because there's a thing about certain things that come into our life, it's real easy to get your emotions all stirred up in it. And you think you feel good about it, but then the next day you got buyer's remorse or whatever the case may be. But when you got that green light on the inside, man, you can trust that. Peace does make the call. All right. In the Old Testament, they were led by signs. New Testament, we're led by the inward witness. Signs are feelings, needs or desires. You can have strong feelings and strong desires and strong needs about things. But if you don't have that velvety-like thing on the inside, I know about that hesitancy. I tell you what, I probably had more of the hesitancy than I've had the green lights on certain issues. It's just like, this is just not working out. What is the deal? I guess it's a no-go. What happens if you plunge on ahead? I think you put your life in danger. Because see, then the enemy, you step out into the flesh, and that's his domain. This is very simple. I mean, you can't get any simpler than this. All right, Romans 8. When you got that peaceful, velvety feeling on the inside of you, nobody has to tell you anything. You know. Brother Hagin tells a story about a man that he never lost anything in the stock market because he would always go to the Lord, go into his prayer closet, and pray till he had a yay or a nay. So even if the Lord tells you to invest in something we think is a faulty system and it has its ups and downs and, you know, it's manipulated. If the Lord leads you to do it and he gives you a velvety feeling, he tells you what to do, you can trust that. Because we have to operate in this world, you know. All right, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Here we come back to fear. You know, when fear shows up, you know who's there. God hasn't got a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. We don't either. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, he puts that witness inside of us that he's leading us and that we are his. You know, people just fly by the seat of their pants and they just shipwreck. It's so sad. That's going to change. I asked the Lord today, and it kind of came up to me, and normally I don't think this way because I've heard people say that actually our timelines have changed and the people that will not walk in the Spirit and won't do right will end up being somewhere else. Now, I don't know about that. I'm asking the Lord about that. I said, what are you trying to tell me here? But those that want to follow the Lord and go enter into the kingdom age, that's where he's moving. Well, we know the old guard's going home. So I guess we'll see. That's all kind of that in that gray area. You think, Lord, I've got to have scripture. If I'm going to stand on this or believe something like this, I have to have scripture to back it up. And I don't mean the books that have been taken out. I mean this, what I got right here. I want to know. Okay. I can remember as a new believer, especially a spirit-filled believer, we were babies and we totally lived our lives on emotion. If we went to church and we didn't get blessed, we were down. Or if the Holy Spirit didn't use us, we were down. We act just like children. You know what? Babies. Think about the nursery. What happens in the nursery? Well, before long, somebody's going to get hit and their toy grabbed away. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it is with babies. They scream and they yell and they hit each other. They act like a bunch of heathen. And they are, because they don't know any better. Well, spiritual babies are not any different. They don't know how to act. They got to be taught. Yeah. Okay. We're going to look at a few inward witness actions. And I'm going to start with the book of Acts here. First one's in Acts 20. Babies are real emotional. They don't have any restraints. They don't know how to restrain themselves. That's just the way it is when you're little. All right. You have to learn to have manners and behave and all of those kind of things. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us. He's leading us. He chastens us to try to bring us into line and learn how to follow him. Okay, Acts 20:22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let me see. Okay. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. See, some of them tried to talk him out of it. Why couldn't they talk him out of it? Had the inward witness. All right, the sadness of the believer did not keep Paul. Even though they begged him, please don't go. Please don't go to Jerusalem. Bonds await you there. No. He had the witness of the Holy Ghost. I mean, so Paul was with at peace. All right. This is what witnesseth right here. To attest or protest earnestly or heartily, I guess how you pronounce it. That heartily means giving exhortation or advisory. So it's exhortation or advisory. The witness. We're not to be led by what we think or what we desire, but the witness of the Holy Spirit. All right. The Holy Spirit is here to help us stay in God's will for our lives. He will not control us. That's what the devil does. He tries to control. God does not do that. He will gently prompt us, but we must make the decision to heed the advisory. When he's trying to warn us, when he's trying to say, do this or do that. It's all about delivering us from evil. It's all about keeping us out of trouble. It's all about keeping us in his will. It's all for our benefit and our good. All right. It never hurts to have a witness. If there's a sign on the highway, bridge out, would you plunge ahead? That's what the witness is. There's danger ahead. Don't go. Or there will be bonds await you, but my grace is sufficient for you in this. All right. 2 Corinthians 13:1. Right here, 13:1 says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Sometimes that's confirmed by people. But I don't think it's ever a bad thing to get, you know, get the Holy Ghost witness. And, you know, a lot of times there might be like the prophet when he was going to go be bound. Agabus, the prophet, said, he took a belt and bound himself, and he said, the man that owns this girdle, you know, you're going to go to this place and they're going to put you in bonds, basically. That was another witness. He said, everywhere I go, the witness, there's a witness to this. Never hurts. This is Isaiah 55:9, and don't turn there. I'll just read it to you. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, Jesus knows everything, right? The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. So why wouldn't you ask him about everything? Because any expert in the world does not know everything about everything. There's nobody alive that knows everything about everything. But the Holy Spirit knows the whole counsel of God. The one that made everything. All right. We think we know best for our lives, but we really don't. God knows it all, and we want a good life. We must let His Spirit make the call. That should be the deciding factor in whatever we decide, whatever it is. All right. We've talked about peace making the call. We're going to read that. This is Philippians chapter 4. But there is a catch to it. It's going to depend on what you're going to surround yourself with. If you're listening to things you shouldn't be listening to, negativity or different things like that, it's going to be hard for you to have that peace, for peace to make the call. Right here, let's start with 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. 6, be careful for nothing. See, if you're dwelling on things and you're bugged and you're fearful, that ultimately could cause you to make the wrong decision, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul was an example to the body of Christ. He walked it. He didn't just talk it. I'm looking forward to a day that we actually see people that actually walk it instead of just talk it. Acts chapter 9. Starting with verse 10 there. Sometimes the Lord speaks things to us and maybe they're hard to hear. And you go, "What, Lord, are you sure?" This is one of those occasions. Verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." He said, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." So this man, you know, he's scared, thinking, well, this man's putting them in jail. He's killing the church. Throwing him in jail. Well, that's the way the Lord, you know, there may be times where we're thinking, well, that's scary. I don't know about that. But we have the witness. All right, Luke 4:1. Jesus is our example that we should walk in his steps right here. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." The wilderness was tough. Now that's a hard one when you know God has you in the wilderness and you're being tested and it stinks. But you know that's the will of God. And staying in there. Staying there, seeing it through to the end. Tell the Spirit, what? If he led you in, he leads you out. Right? All right. It's easy to get into a routine and just go about our business, but we must keep ourselves fine-tuned so the Holy Spirit can break through and give us instructions if needed. In other words, we don't need to be so locked into what we do that the Holy Spirit can't, like Ananias, say, "Well, I want you to go here today and do this." Oh, really? Oh, okay. But sometimes we just get busy about life. We just do our regular old stuff all the time. But if we make ourselves available and say, "Lord, I'm busy today, but if you have something for me to do, feel free to interrupt me at any time so I can do it." That's what happened with Ananias. He was just probably doing his regular thing. He thought, "Oh, no, no." Yeah. Some people are not willing to do that. They're so locked into their religious way of doing things that they don't, no, I don't believe that. What do? They miss out. They lose out. I'm in it to win it. How about you? And the only way I'm going to win it, you're going to win it, is following the Holy Spirit. All right, Acts 16. Starting with 6 there. Even in ministry, we can get just locked into the same, you know, doing the same thing. We've got to always be on the cutting edge so the Holy Spirit can speak to us and give us direction. Right here, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. Here's two attempts to go into places, and they get stoplight. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Was that a witness? Think so. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Lord, you said to go into all the world. You could bail out and go into territory you don't have no business in. Yeah, and end up getting killed. Well, they were a martyr for the Lord. They were doing the work of the Lord. No, they were stupid. They didn't listen. They just plunged ahead where angels fear to tread. The angels follow God's track, not yours. They're not obligated to do anything for you if you step out independently. All right. It's easy to get into that routine, though. Especially as religious people or Christian people. Well, this is the way I've always done it. Well, maybe it's time to, you know, that may be okay. But I'm telling you, we wouldn't be in this situation today and God having to do what he's having to do if everybody followed the inward witness. Us included, we've missed it a bunch of times because we didn't understand. But they offered me all this money. It has to be God, right? And the benefits. Oh, it just has to be God. Well, everything that's good is not God. I know God is good all the time. All the time God is good. But everything good is not God. It may appear good, but it can be a trap. All right. I'm telling you, this is how a lot of Christians live their lives. A lot of people live their lives. I'm going to leave you with this conclusion, one set of scriptures, and it's going to set to rest just what I said. This is Luke chapter 4. This is Jesus in the wilderness. He's led of the Spirit into the wilderness. In the wilderness. Start with verse 5 there. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and saith unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Oh, lots of money, lots of benefits. Those are good things. But it was evil in this case. If you move out independent of God, it is evil. Danny knows about that. The only time he's ever had a problem with his job or anything was whenever he missed God and he went and took it for money instead of the witness. And then a year later or whatever it was, he was laid off. So we're not led by those things. If we'll follow God, he'll give us those things. But we have to follow God to do it. We have to follow the Holy Spirit. Okay.